Stabbed in the back, arachnoiditis, the childbirth I didn't expect. By Samara Jones, with Jacqueline Haig. I swear to fulfill to the best of my ability and judgment this covenant. I will respect the hard-won scientific gains of those physicians in whose steps I walk, and gladly share such knowledge as is mine with those who are to follow. From the Hippocratic Oath. Ubi jus ibi remedium. For every wrong, the law provides a remedy. Legal Principle. Chapter 1. Stabbed in the back. The intervals between contractions became shorter and shorter. The contractions came at me like an avalanche pushing me down a mountain. It was so painful. My whole body was shaking. I was gasping for air. This is not how my mother had described giving birth. She had delivered 3 daughters naturally, without any pain relief. I had been in the hospital for 3 days. Nobody had told me, before going there, the difference between chemically induced contractions and natural ones. Believe me, there is a big difference. Over the past 48 hours, I had been given numerous doses of prostaglandin, a synthetic version of the naturally produced human hormone that is responsible for starting labor. Then I was switched to a drip of syntocin, which is artificial oxytocin. As well as being well known as the hormone of joy and love, it is also the hormone the human body releases to prompt the final stages of labor. The doctors gradually increased the syntocin to the maximum allowed dose to speed up dilation. I was in absolute agony. The gas and air wasn't helping, and I just wanted some relief. At 1 p.m, my midwife said, "Do you want an epidural?" "Yes, please," I cried between gasps for air. The midwife nodded sympathetically and left the room. In my medical notes, I would later learn, it says, "Anaesthetist busy, aware that Dinara needs an epidural." The anaesthetist arrived about an hour later, flanked by 2 female assistants. "Thank God," I thought. "He's here. He'll save me from this torture." I hadn't researched epidurals and knew nothing about how and where they were administered and what the potential dangers were. In my antenatal NCT, National Childbirth Trust classes, they had only told us that if you were in pain, you'd have the option of receiving one. It was talked about as if it was routine, like taking paracetamol. The anaesthetist, shy at penetrating my personal space, came close to me and introduced himself. He was polite and gentle, with a soft, low voice. "Do you have any health conditions?" he asked. "Or any allergies?" "Not really, but I can't deliver this baby right," I spluttered. "Although I think I do have slightly high cholesterol." "No, no," he said, and explained what he meant. "Do you have any other conditions? Anything spine-related?" "No, nothing like that," I said, still in the midst of the contractions, my eyes full of tears, thinking, "Come on, help me already." In contrast to my turmoil within, the anaesthetist was calm and collected. I felt at ease with him and saw him as my savior. His assistants quietly started preparing something. "So, you want an epidural?" he confirmed. "Yes," I said. "Do you do a lot of them?" I knew it might sound silly to ask this, but I wanted reassurance. "Yes," he laughed. "Can you hear all those women crying?" He paused to let me listen to all the screams and moans coming from the adjacent delivery rooms. "They're all crazy," he continued. "An epidural will give you relief so you can deliver the baby pain-free."
"So why aren't those women all having it then?"
I was trying to create a connection with this doctor by engaging him in conversation. In my mind, I believed this might make the procedure go more smoothly.